What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Black Corporate Life Podcast, where we're breaking the silence and revealing the unwritten rules and hidden truths that govern corporate America. I'm your host, James Friesen. In this groundbreaking series, we're leaving no stone unturned. Join us as we champion authenticity and transparency and bring these topics front and center, one episode at a time. In today's episode, we'll talk about how to move from dabbling to doing in pursuit of your dreams. This is what my guest calls turning your next into now. Backed by popular demand is Lynn Stokes, who is the founder of Stokes Unlimited, which provides storytelling, branding, and speaking services. She develops personal brands for midlife professionals who want more out of life through her 12-week personal branding course. Lynn also is a mixologist and offers personal and professional development classes through her Quench Academy brand, using mixology as a teaching aid. Now, I've known Lynn for over 20 years, going all the way back to our days in brand management at PepsiCo. She's a personal friend, mentor, all-around superstar, and a big part of that black girl magic. Lynn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, James. Happy to be back on Black Corporate Life, continuing the conversation that we had earlier. This is going to be a good one. Looking forward to it and appreciate the chance to have this discussion with you.
Yes, thank you for coming back and blessing our guests with the knowledge and wisdom that you have to share. So Lynn, if you could start us off just like you did before, tell us your career story. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, my career story begins. I am originally from Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I was born and raised. Went to Vanderbilt University, studied mechanical engineering, decided in my junior year that I wasn't in love with engineering, but was closer to finishing than starting over. So I do have a degree in mechanical engineering, but I went straight through and got my MBA with a concentration in marketing. As luck would have it, my first job out of MBA school was with Ford Motor Company. And I ended up doing engineering work anyway, but I had a two-year rotational program that I spent doing product development and ended up in the strategy office for trucks. And that was the place where they married the plans of engineering with consumer needs and desires. And I really enjoyed that work because it brought me closer to the consumer and realized after doing that I really wanted to get into a true marketing and brand management role where I could really represent the voice of the customer. And so I made the move from Detroit, Michigan and Ford Motor Company to sunny Florida and ended up working at Tropicana, the orange juice company, and in their brand management department. And that started my career into a career of brand management and product innovation. I worked at Tropicana. I had the opportunity to work at Walt Disney World and then back at Tropicana when it was under the PepsiCo umbrella. And then after a few years of that, I left when Tropicana moved their marketing operations from Florida to Chicago and started my own business and did marketing consulting for a few years, focused on small business and the religious and church market. Missed the corporate security, and I put that in air quotes, and ended up being fortunate to get a job at Public Supermarkets in their headquarters in Lakeland, Florida. And I spent 12 years in their marketing department, representing the voice of the customer all throughout the store. I worked for their health and wellness brand. I spent 4 years representing the deli. And then my final role there was in omni-channel marketing, which was responsible for the online ordering and for delivery and pickup that was powered by Instacart. So as time would have it, and probably familiar to some of your listeners, that I knew that I wanted more with my career. I had opportunities for, I went to try to be promoted, interviewed internally, but always came in number two in the runner up for a position. And so I made the decision. I got a life coach and kind of got clear on my values and what did I want for this next part of my life, and went on a job search, or actually the job kind of found me, and ended up getting an opportunity to move to Charlotte, North Carolina and work for Krispy Kreme. And it was a fun, exciting time, a smaller company doing marketing. We were launching new product. And this was in 2019. And as everyone knows, what happened in 2020 and pandemic and 2021 and just the world changed. And we were in pandemic mode. Then there were social justice issues. There were the murders of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and George Floyd. And at this time that I was doing this work with Krispy Kreme, I was also working with diversity and inclusion. So we were, you know, having those difficult conversations internally with other coworkers and peers. And in 2021, which was the year of the Great Resignation, things just changed with my corporate job. The team that I was working with, they went on to other roles. Some left the company. My job changed. And I found myself in a place where I was just burnt out, tired, and left that role, walked away from it to go home, didn't sit on my sofa. Or so I thought. And in early 2022, I started Stokes Unlimited because I was having conversations with people just like me, other midlife professionals that were, they were tired. We were burnt out. They had achieved this dream, and yet there was still something missing. And so we would have these conversations, and I was like, well, and I would help them. And I said, this is an unmet need. We're not having enough of these conversations. And people have dreams, but we're not working toward them. We're not reaching for them. And so I started Stokes Unlimited to help coach midlife professionals who are professionally accomplished, but yet they're still unfulfilled and they're craving a more meaningful life. And plot twist to my brand story, I'm also a mixologist because that was one of the dreams that I had. And at the age of 48, I went to bartending school because I always had just a natural curiosity about cocktails, mocktails, mixing things up, and went to bartending school, got my bartending certificate, and I'm also a mixologist, and I am offering personal and professional development classes that use mixology as an aid. So that's part of my dream come true that I'm living right now as part of, along with my coaching.
Well, I appreciate the remix, because if we go all the way back 11 episodes to episode one, you were my first guest.
That's right.
And did an awesome show. And we talked about this whole notion of working on your what's next while working on your what's now. And in that episode, you talked about the four D's. Can you recap what those are for our listeners?
Sure. The four D's, I believe that to make any type of transition or change in your life, it goes through this process of the four D's. Dream, dabble, decide, do. Doesn't necessarily matter how big the dream is or how small it is. It all starts with that idea of, I want something more. I want something different. And then we go through a dabble phase, which really in layman's terms is probably more of a research kind of session where you're trying to figure out, is this the dream that I want to make come true? And so you're dabbling and you're researching and you're trying to figure out. Then something happens and we make the decision, or the decision is made for us, that I'm going to go from dabbling to doing and actually commit to making this dream come true.
Gotcha. So you think about, you know, dabbling versus doing. What's the difference between the two?
I think that for dabbling is, if you would, it's intention. It's intention and it's a plan. And that's the difference. You can, by dabbling, let me give a couple of examples of what dabbling is. Dabbling is going down the internet rabbit hole. Dabbling is subscribing to podcasts on what your dream is related to. Dabbling is maybe buying a book that you read or you don't read. And dabbling is those types of things that you pick up, you put down, you do for a couple of weeks, and then you put it aside. So I think the biggest difference between dabbling and doing is the intention, the guide map, the plan, as far as like, what is the end goal? Because we can get stuck very easily in dabble mode.
And so speaking of that, why do people get stuck in the dabble mode?
I think there's three reasons why people get stuck. The first reason is that dabbling gives us a false sense of security of doing. And so, you know, by nature of dabbling, and I am definitely, it's a step that you cannot skip. You have to do the dabbling because it is research. And because you are watching videos, because you are reading a book, because you attend that one seminar, you have this sense that I'm doing something. And, but we all know people, and it may be you yourself, you know, that, oh, I've been working on this thing for 3 years. And, you know, we have to question, have you really been working on it for 3 years? Or do you pick it up for 2 weeks and then put it down for a month? Do you pick it up for a couple of weeks and do something and then, oh, it's the end of the year, I'll get back to this after the new year and after the holidays? So I think we have this false sense of security that by dabbling, we're actually doing something when really we're still kind of playing around with it and testing out the waters. The second reason that people stay in dabble mode is that there's no audience or accountability. I think a key difference between dabbling and doing is that dabbling is private. You don't have to share it with anyone. If you're on the internet, if you're listening to a podcast, that's just between you and yourself. When you're doing it, it's more public. You've made a commitment to someone or somebody. You're posting on social media. You submitted that paperwork. There is some kind of exchange with another person or body that means that I am making a commitment to do this out loud. So when you don't have that audience or accountability, it's easier to fly under the radar screen. And then finally, the third reason I think we stay in dabble mode is that we're waiting for a decision to be made. And a lot of times it is so much easier when that decision is made for you. So, ooh, I lost my job. What am I going to do now? All that dabbling now suddenly turns into doing. Or, oh, my spouse just got transferred to a new city. Okay, so now I've got to rearrange and do something because, you know, our life just got turned upside down. So when something happens, we're sometimes waiting for that thing to happen, which that kicks us from dabbling to doing. But what's more harder is to self-motivate and decide today is the day. There's nothing that's happened. It's just a random Tuesday at 6:30. And we decide, you know what? I'm done dabbling. I'm going to make the change. And it starts right now.
So I'm going to make an admission live on this podcast that I was chief dabbler some 6 months ago, however long it's been, because I've been working on this podcast for a minute. And it took Lynn Stokes to give me that kick in the butt. And I remember I was sitting there working on it still. And we got on the phone and Lynn said, James, what are you doing? Just go on down there, turn on that mixer, get the mic, and just hit record and see what happens. And that is the spark. That's what it took to get the Black Corporate Life podcast off the ground. So Lynn, thank you for kicking me in the butt.
I'm glad that I was your decision point to move you from dabbling to doing, because we would talk about it. You would share with me the platforms. You would share with me the stories and like, this is what this podcaster is doing. You bought all the equipment that was sitting there getting a layer of dust on it. So sometimes that dabble to do decision point comes in a trusted advisor, friend, or, you know, the person in your corner that's saying, hey, it's time. Let's do this thing.
Yes, we're putting all my business in the streets today, but it's all good.
Hey, that's right. That's right.
So what are some of the common reasons people give for not pursuing their dreams?
Common reasons, survey says, time and money. And those tend to be the default reasons why people put their dreams on the back burner. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm taking care of everyone else. The dream that I want, which is to move to a new city, which is to retire early, which is to learn a new skill or a hobby, it costs money and I don't have that money right now. That's not the priority. So those tend to be the common, easy go-to. This is why I'm not doing the dream. But I also think that there's one that's kind of unspoken and harder to, you know, capture, is the insecurity and worrying about what other people are thinking. I know that for me, when I looked around and I left corporate to go sit on my sofa, I was like one of a handful. Everybody that was in my peer group were other people that worked. You know, we got up, went to work from 8 to 6, were tired by the end of the week, maybe in a fraternity, sorority, social organizations, doing things for church, taking care of kids, taking care of parents. And no one was really out here stepping above the line and going out and doing something different. And a lot of times the dreams that we have and the dreams that we pursue are 180 degrees different than our daily life. And we don't see anybody else doing it. And so therefore, we feel insecure. Well, if nobody else is doing it, then why am I going to do it? And it's really true thing that you can't be what you don't see. And so I saw that firsthand when I went to bartending school. I guess I was dabbling a little bit, but I made a commitment to go to bartending school. I didn't tell a lot of people, but when I got the bartending certificate and I did a social media post about it, I had so many people that were so excited about that and energized and encouraged and was like, you know, I've always wanted to do X. I've always wanted to do Y. Seeing you do this gives me a little bit more confidence that it's possible for me. So I think that a reason we don't pursue it, sure, it's time and money, but those potentially are excuses. I think the bigger issue is just the insecurity that, hey, nobody's out here doing it. And if I do this, what are people going to say? And for me, I'm like, they're going to be talking anyway, so just give them something to talk about.
You're exactly right. And, you know, I'm glad you touched on that mental piece because it's so easy to get trapped up. You're out working a full-time job, you get the car, you get the house, you get the clothes, start traveling a little bit, and then you start getting that money every couple of weeks. And it is so hard to go past that to pursue the dreams that you've been carried around with you your whole life. So how do we get past that mental battle in our minds?
I think the mental battle, the key thing is to start dabbling because, you know, one of my favorite sayings is how do you eat an elephant? You eat the elephant one bite at a time. So to break through, if you have that dream, the first place I would start is that break down that dream into bite-sized pieces. A lot of times the dream that we have seems so far away. It seems like it's a big, audacious goal. But really, I would imagine there's at least 2 steps to your dream. There's probably 10. So instead of looking at necessarily that is the destination and the end goals, what are the mile markers that are going to get you there? And start tackling those mile markers there.
Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Join our online community at bclalliance.com.
So an example is that if you want to study at a French pastry school, but you've not even made chocolate chip cookies or slice and bake cookies, then maybe the first thing you do is this weekend, I'm going to make some cookies. Or, you know, then next weekend, I'm going to make a pie. And then the weekend after that, I'm going to maybe take a local cooking class and see what it is. So I think that you have to start dabbling. And those are low cost, no cost ways to start breaking through on your mindset as far as like, hey, I am working toward my dream. There are different steps to the dream. If your dream is to go from corporate for-profit world to a nonprofit world, then maybe those steps is that, hey, I need to follow, you know, some people that are in the nonprofit world. Maybe I need to take a look at my resume and have some friends look at it, you know, no cost. Maybe if I want to step it up, then I get a career coach or I get a resume writer to help me with my resume. So because all of a sudden, just making a move from for-profit to nonprofit is probably not going to happen without some effort on your part. But there are lots of steps on that path that can get to your goal that give you the sense of accomplishment, but also give you the sense of moving forward as well.
So far, we've been flying at about 30,000 feet. Now we're going to swoop down to about 10,000 and talk about you. So Lynn, you are an expert in what you do. Can you just speak to our listeners about maybe one or two of your clients that you've worked with, not sharing their name and their situation, but just kind of how do you approach helping them get from unstuck to actually pursuing their dreams?
Well, in general, a lot of the clients that I've had, they've come to me because there's been some point of frustration. Frustration because they may have lost their job unexpectedly, or frustration because the job that they have is not satisfying them anymore. Frustration that they feel like they're running out of time because they may be late 40s, early 50s, and are kind of like, ooh, what am I doing with the time that I have left? So when we work together, and I work with people one-on-one, and we can have our strategy sessions or my 12-week program where I really take them through the brand basics. And we get clear on what that dream is and what that goal is. For some, it is what is, you know, starting a business. They may have 17 ideas and we have to figure out what the one or two ideas are. For some, it's I want to change careers. I want to change industries. And so we talk about what does that look like? So we get very clear on what it is that they want to do. We talk about the confidence, because a lot of times people don't have a clarity problem. They have a confidence problem. Why do you do what you want to do? What you want to do? We talk about commitment, who you do it for. And then we talk about consistency. How do you show up? And so those are the steps that I take through. It's the basics. It's questions that seem very easy to answer. One of the simplest questions to ask is, what do you do? And that's also one of the hardest questions to answer for a lot of people, because they can't clearly say, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, this is what I do. And especially if they're in a period of transition or confusion or frustration, and it's like, I don't want to do what I've been doing, but I want to take all of this life experience, I want to take the stories that I have, and I want to set them in a plan and a roadmap and a recipe, if you will, so that that craving for a more meaningful life is satisfied. It's quenched.
So for anybody that's, you know, in the struggle or on the struggle bus, and they're looking for help and they want to reach out to you and work with you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Best way to get in touch is follow me on socials. I'm most active on LinkedIn. I am Lynn with an E, L-Y-N-N-E, Stokes, S-T-O-K-E-S. On other social platforms, I'm on most of them. I'm at the Lynn Stokes. And you can also go to my website, lynnstokes.com, L-Y-N-N-E-S-T-O-K-E-S.com. And there'll be an opportunity to sign up for my newsletter, which is Quench, so that you can keep up with my journeys and my stories there. So would love to have you follow me along on the journey, subscribe to the newsletter, and if so inclined, schedule a discovery call and we can chat about your situation and see if it's a fit for us to move forward together.
Cool. So let me ask you this one last question, which I've never asked any of our guests before. So we'll do it today. Mm-hmm. What do you want your future self to be able to say to you today?
I would love for older Lynn to tell younger midlife Lynn that she's proud of me for always trying, for never stop learning, for having that curiosity, and for dreaming, for having the dream, figuring out what the dream is, being confident in my dream and going after it, and also the fact that I am trying and working and making my mission to help inspire and encourage other midlife professionals to go after their dreams and not just chase them, but catch them. That would be good. That would be great.
Gotcha. Well, Lynn, I really appreciate you sharing, again, your knowledge and wisdom experience with our listeners today. And just for our listeners, I just want to recap three things that Lynn shared with us. Number one is this notion of moving from dabbling to doing. And the real difference maker that allows you to make that shift is having some intention, being intentional about your pursuits. And then the second thing around how and why people get so stuck in the dabble phase, and a lot of that is around time and money. Mm-hmm. Don't have enough time, don't have enough money. And then the third thing is this notion of, you know, being caught up in life And, you know, on one sense, you feel like you're living a full life because you got the job and the car and the house and all that stuff. But you're also empty on the inside because there's this dream over here that you always wanted to do and you've been dabbling for years. And so wanted to point out those three lessons. But, Lynn, I want to throw it back to you one more time. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners before we go?
My final thought is really stop dreaming, start doing. The path between dreaming and doing is dabbling and deciding. So whatever it is, if you're listening now, jot in your phone, take a sheet of paper, write out what that dream is, and figure out what is one step you can do in the next week that's going to really get you closer to the dream. And put a plan in place to make that dream happen. If you feel that you can't do it alone, a mentor, a friend, a coach. That's what I do with my clients if you need a buddy to help you along the way. But time is too short, but we still have time. It's not too late. You're not too old. Stop dreaming. Start doing.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, James. Thanks for having me. I admire and love what you're doing with this podcast and your platform. These conversations are so needed, and I know that it's a blessing to a lot of people. So appreciate you, brother, and thank you so much for doing this and having me.
For sure. 06.
08.
You got it. Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Subscribe to our podcast by visiting blackcorporatelife.com or search wherever you listen to podcasts. And join the Black Corporate Life Alliance at bclalliance.com.